want to echo what Isabel said, and I'm sure Jamie feels the same for me. It was a great project. We worked together, and there's another group that's not here today, but you can read all about us in the journal. Can't remember, what's the name of the journal? Preventing Chronic Disease. My name is Kip Galley, and it's obviously not Amelie Ramirez, who would be here, but is not. I'm with the Institute for Health Promotion Research at the University of Texas Health Science Center in San Antonio. Today I'm going to cover some of the results of our study, and thankfully those going before me, they've covered some of the methodology, so I'll spare you that information. Let's see, well, there's our investigators. And again, we pay homage to the NCI. Thank you very much for the support. This project was nested underneath a larger study, which each one of us are actually community network programs with the Centers to Reduce Cancer Health Disparities. Our project, Redes Nacion, that's its title, the National Latino Cancer Research Center. It's led by Dr. Amelie Ramirez, and it's a national network of community-based organizations, research institutions, government health agencies, and the public. What you see before you is a map of our regional sites from San Francisco, San Diego, Houston, and San Antonio, our headquarters, and then Miami and New York. We also work closely with the National Hispanic Medical Association, and we have several consultants. So some real quick background information. I'm not going to belabor it. I think we realize that energy balance is an issue with all populations, certainly with Latino populations. The causes of obesity, energy balance related, are multifactorial, including polygenetic, metabolic, psychosocial, socioeconomic, and environmental influences as well. Obesity is the second largest preventable cause of death after smoking, and while unknown, many dietary factors can affect cancer risk. Types of food, food preparation, portion size, food variety, and overall balance, and I'll cover some of those in the results of our focus groups. Specifically to Latinos, they happen to be, as you probably know by now, the second largest minority population in the United States, and they also have one of the highest obesity and sedentary lifestyle habits among those populations. More specifically, Latinos are, about 62% overweight and 23% obese. Mexican Americans, it's slightly worse. And women over 40, which were the target population for this intervention, worse still. So now to our study. The purpose was to assess knowledge, attitudes, and behaviors regarding nutrition and exercise among Latinos over 40 years of age, residing in a low-income community, inner-city neighborhood in Houston, Texas. And, of course, was to assess the feasibility, in this case, of a faith-based or church-based program to promote energy balance. Here's the target area. These little dots and so forth are different. I don't know if you can read it. It's pretty small from here. But what you're looking at are different things in town, the squares are churches. Green spots are parks. Schools are in the yellow. But it's just a way of our community mapping, because that's so important if we have expectations to modify things that relate to environmental built structures as well as behaviors. Now, between May and June of 2005, we conducted 10 focus groups at three different Catholic churches located in this East End district of Houston. The East End is predominantly about 85% Latino, low income, and Spanish is a primary language. About 21% of the women are over 40, and almost 30% of the population has an income below $20,000. About 69% have never completed high school. The majority of these Hispanics attend Catholic Church frequently and participate in church events, so we thought this would be a good venue to test some of these notions. Focus group participants were drawn from these churches, Immaculate Conception, Heart of Mary, and Lady of Guadalupe. Our methods to bring people into the study, we created an informational flyer about the study and distributed it through the church bulletin. eligible women received a call 1 week prior to the meeting to confirm participation, and then one day before that, scheduled focus groups to remind them of the time and location. And the focus groups were held at the participating churches, as I mentioned, usually in the evening. Trained bilingual Latina facilitated all the focus groups. One session was conducted in both languages and the rest only in Spanish. Research staff observed and took notes, operated the tape recorder, and all focus groups were recorded and transcribed verbatim. The data was processed using qualitative content analysis and looking at categorizing and interpreting the data. Staff reviewed transcripts, identified major concepts, which I'll cover in a minute, and then we even did a little analysis with some statistical packages. Just a little more on the methods here. We 7 participants was the average size, 56 years of age was the mean age. A majority were married. A minority of those went to high school, and family income, as I mentioned, was less than 20% for the majority of people. Now let's look at some of the barriers we identified, and this is regarding nutrition first. Top barriers included lack of awareness about all available vegetables, how to cook them, nutritional value of foods, the combination and portion sizes, reading food labels, what to buy on a limited budget. Traditional food preparation and selection were cited as a barrier, as well as a perception that being chubby or overweight was healthy. Participants said that due to budgets, they prefer food on sale and provide a feeling of fullness after they've eaten it. And vegetables and fruits are usually expensive and therefore not their first choice when they're challenged to buy their groceries. Family preferences came up as a barrier for eating as well. Many women work to provide for their families and lack time to prepare foods, making it easier to buy fast foods or packaged food, and also resulted in less regular eating schedules. A pattern emerged where breakfast was avoided, lunch turned into a snack, and then what happened was the evening meal was a very heavy, large food portion. Some of the motivating factors looking at nutrition had to do with including alternatives, naturally alternatives to the previous mentioned barriers. Most women expressed a strong desire for cooking classes in small groups and taking samples home for testing with their family members. Education about how to buy and cook healthy traditional foods on a limited budget. Education on the relationship between nutrition and health and disease. And women also noted that small group education in familiar environs, such as the church, would help solve barriers such as machismo, social support, and safety issues. Looking at physical activity, some of the barriers we encountered were that safety concerns and fear of going out to exercise, dogs on the street and broken sidewalks, very limited resources available in the community. Physical activity, you saw that map earlier, there wasn't a lot of parks, not that that's the only venue for achieving exercise, but it's not an easy community to find places to do that. And then, of course, the cost of existing programs and resources, like you heard in the other ones, cost is a big issue. Lack of time and motivation, or flojera, as it's known in this community. A lack of social and family support, and then the lack of education about the benefits of exercising, the types of exercise based on age and fitness level and health. Cultural factors, there were some cultural factors. I think we still agree with Dr. Van Dunn's perspective that we do have more commonalities, and culture is not a huge barrier, but there are some subtleties. And machismo is one. I think many of you are probably familiar with it. Spouses and partners don't want them to go out and exercise with other men or individuals that are unknown to them. Modesty, feeling embarrassed by how they look in gym attire. And familialism, putting family needs before their own. And lastly, novelas. In the Spanish culture, novelas are very popular, especially with individuals whose primary language is Spanish, and it leads to a sedentary set of kind of a time frame within the day, and it is a cherished moment for many individuals. If we look at some of the motivating factors for physical activity, again, it's the alternative to the barriers we just mentioned. I'm not sure how to get around novellas. But there are small group, they would like to see small group education about exercise. The types of exercise, again, based on age and fitness level and health. How to start and maintain an exercise program, a real challenge, real challenge. Small groups would enable more social support, a very powerful incentive to Latino populations, probably not unlike other groups you've heard here today. And programs that should address cultural factors and be offered at convenient times. Church-based programs provide a safe, convenient, familiar environment and are generally easily accepted by family members, even those that are most reticent to them associating with individuals whom their spouse may not be familiar with prior to that. And the importance of walking, dancing, aerobics, swimming, bicycling, yoga are the most preferred activities. So church involvement. What role do they play? Well, they could help improve nutrition and exercise practices in the eyes of the focus group participants by facilitating space for cooking or nutrition and exercise classes, creating groups for nutrition and exercise, and providing classes where Latino or Latina experts on healthy living and food preparation, dancing, walking, aerobics, etc., could come and share that knowledge. And having active participation by the priest, who is, again, not uncommon in most communities, has a high degree of credibility and respectability. And that's a very powerful incentive. Regarding information preferences, for information on energy balance modification, healthcare professionals were cited as the most common and trusted source of information. Other trusted sources, again, included the priest, television libraries, the internet, and books. Although I must say, I don't think this population does much in the area of internet at the time. They were unanimous that education on nutrition and exercise should be provided in person, specifically through group sessions or activities with materials and messages in Spanish as well in English. And since family and social networks are stalwarts of the Hispanic culture, most Latinos prefer group activities where there is direct guidance, interpersonal contact, social support with positive reinforcement, and a friendly environment for education to occur. They like to do it with other people. Less popular with solitary strategies like reading and, of course, things which cost money. And then given the literacy level of this group and general dislike for reading, education materials should only complement group activities rather than feature, and they should have plenty of graphics and lots of white space and appropriate literacy level. But they should not be the main source of information. They want that to be interpersonal. So, let's see. Did I go back one? How do I go forward? Well, conclusions. Probably at the end anyway. Well, using the church is a feasible and culturally appropriate strategy. We learned that. We kind of knew that before. Important information for the design and implementation of culturally sensitive, tailored-based information is critical. Formative research, obviously, is a big necessity in anything we might do. And women and community leaders should be involved in all phases of the program. Obviously, we looked at church-based systems because of the infrastructure and social support that is already there and its acceptance in the community. So we think that, too, should be a part of it. Caramba. But just a couple of limitations. Obviously, this was just qualitative data collection. We only looked at individuals in the Southwest in one community. Obviously, our resources were limited to that. These strategies, as was previously mentioned, were kind of imposed on us, but I think they were worthy of examination. And clearly, more research is needed in this area before we kind of stand behind these conclusions or even create programs. Thank you very much.